A swing and a base hit right field. Burleson just gave the Cardinals the lead, scoring Fermin. And it's 9-8 St. Louis with one out in the ninth inning.
The Cardinals come back and get it done last night in San Francisco. Welcome to the show with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Our producers are Matt Pajeski and James O'Sullivan. And we have a great show lined up for you. But there are some nights where I stay up way past my bedtime, having to get up and be on the air at 5, when the Cardinals are on the West Coast and when they're playing a crazy ball game. And last night was one of those. The Cardinals were down 8-3. Three-run homer by Herrera. Solo homer by Arenado. They go to the ninth. Donovan with the double, scoring Victor Scott. And then Alec Burleson drives in the pinch runner, Jose Fermin. And, wow, the Cardinals win another game in San Francisco. They're playing as if they're in the playoff race here.
Let me just say this. We know where the season is headed, that it's going to be over in four games. Sunday will be the last game the Cardinals play. But it is still nice, even though they're not really playing for a playoff spot. And the one thing we talked about was to play meaningful baseball in the final couple of weeks of the season. They didn't get really a chance to do that. But it is still nice to have a great baseball game like that every now and then, even if it is a game that, in the end, is not going to push them toward the playoffs. It doesn't really matter for the playoff hunt, at least as far as they are concerned. But it's just cool to have a fun game like that. It's cool to come back and see a good win that we can talk about. You know, you can take a little bit of enjoyment from the rest of this Cardinals baseball season, especially knowing it's almost over. So every little bit we can get, Tom, every little bit of happiness or enjoyment or excitement or whatever the emotion, anytime we can get that here in the final few games, just enjoy it because it's going to be several months before it comes back to us.
And I thought Brendan Donovan put it very well after the game in his post-game comments on KMOX. Take a listen to what Donnie said about the meaning of last night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at games like this, right? We're trying to build something here. We're trying to build a core and a culture. And I think wins like that can really propel you. I mean, we had high expectations despite, you know, what people were thinking that we were going to be. So are we where we at, where we want to be? No, absolutely not. But we're still building towards something. And something like tonight, we can really use that to propel us forward.
Well said. And that's the type of player you want on your team. He's been fighting through a lot. He tried to come back from a toe injury and
turf toe's no joke, too, man. That it sounds like it's nothing, but it is. It hurts. Yeah, it is very painful.
Football injuries mostly, yep. But it does happen in baseball. And then you overcompensate, and so that's why his groin kept hurting him, and he kept going back and forth. Toe hurts, groin hurts, coming back and forth and going on the IL and not going on the IL, and where is he going to be, and how are we going to use him? And, you know, he ends up getting a hit yesterday. He wasn't even supposed to play. Yeah. And so, you know, that he's right, the way that they're playing. The other thing Ollie said after the game, similar to what he said on the Gas House Gang before the game, is on our show, he said, I wish that I could have done more before the trade deadline so that we could have added a piece to make a run at this thing. What he said after the game last night was, I wish we had 2 more weeks left in the season, two more weeks of baseball. He thinks that they're playing at a level right now where they could get it. I would push back only that I don't think they have the starting rotation to do that. Like, even if they went on a tear the last month of the season and made it the playoffs, I don't see them being very successful. They just don't have the horses in the rotation. But I don't want to put a damper on the whole thing. The way that they are playing is inspiring, and I would if I were a Cardinal too, because there's a change in leadership, and if you want to be on this team, you better show them something if you want to be part of this scene in 2026.
So that's really the only thing. I don't want to say it's the only thing to play for. That's not the right way to look at it, and definitely not how they see it. But I think for moving forward and it being about the future, I don't know that a win like this carries over into 2026. I don't think it matters all that much. So many months and so many different things are going to happen between now and mid-February when they start spring training, that this win will probably get lost in that shuffle. I think for the moment, it's good for us to enjoy it. But it is, for individuals, I think it is nice for them to have that experience of doing it. I don't know how much it matters moving forward, but it's good for them to enjoy it. It's good for them to experience it. And maybe it does help a little bit, just a little in making evaluations for next year. I don't think it's a lot. I mean, there's so much other data that they can use to make decisions for the 2026 roster, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to have a game like that last night.
No, it doesn't. And it's not lost on us that Arenado hit the home run, too, to be part of that comeback. And Herrera, who's just hitting everything that's coming his way. So we're seeing that. It is a shame because the Mets, as Bernie pointed out in a
left
column.
Left the door open.
I mean, they left the door open to everybody. They pulled a 2011 Braves and completely collapsed and let everyone back in except the Cardinals, who did not take advantage of that. Yep. The Diamondbacks are still in it. They walked off the Dodgers last night. They're a game out. The Reds lost, missed a chance, missed a golden chance to stay with the Mets and couldn't beat the Pirates. And so now here they are sitting a game out with the Diamondbacks, also a game out. Very interesting situation unfolding. And the Cardinals are just trying to finish strong, but they've knocked the Giants out, that's for sure, out of any sort of contention. We're going to also, on this show today, we're going to talk some baseball, but we also, after the break, are going to talk to who I think is one of the most well-rounded sports media people in this town for the last 40 years, and that's Jeff Gordon. The Post-Dispatch columnist is retiring. He announced that in a column today, and we are going to have him on the show here for the next 15, 20 minutes after the break to talk about not only his career, but just his thoughts on the Cardinals, Mizzou, his alma mater. And I don't think anyone in this town over the last 40 years has explained the Blues as well as Jeff Gordon has. I say that because there are a lot of people with hockey knowledge in this town. There's no question. But Jeff just does a really good job in the amount of space that he's allotted in the newspaper or on the website of breaking it down to the point where I've heard people like Ken Hitchcock be wowed by what Jeff was able to encapsulate, like that almost that he was sitting in the room with them. That's how intuitive he was when it came to hockey coverage.
We're going to get a live tip sheet when we come back.
We're going to get a tip sheet from Jeff Gordon. We're going to discuss how history will remember the Jeff Gordon era, as he liked to write in many of his columns. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Jeff Gordon will be with us. We're going to continue with your comments and questions. There is no better place to talk St. Louis sports than right here. You came to the right spot. It's the Gas House Game. It's sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. SaligaHeatingandCooling.com and by Anderson Hospital. We'll be right back. The Gas House Gang on KMOX with Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Jeff Gordon, longtime Post-Dispatch sports writer, retiring after 40 years at the newspaper. And his column today, which talks about his career, I think is fitting because it mostly talks about the sports and the experiences that he was able to have in his career, because as Gordo often did, he would make it more about what he saw and the people involved than himself. And that's what I always respected. Also the fact, Jeff Gordon, and welcome to the Gas House Gang, is that you wowed me through my career in your ability and inspired me, I will say, to be well-versed on as many sports as possible. And I think your readers benefited from it. Welcome back to KMOX. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. And my favorite Tom Ackerman memory is back in the day while I was just getting pounded on our live chats on STLtoday.com, you were trying to parry callers after some of these games, and which was not easy because things did take a wrong direction. And you were having so much fun doing what you do, just as I did, having fun with the fans. So sometimes, though, they could get a little animated.
They did. And, you know, you just sort of shrug your shoulders sometimes and tell everybody, hey, it's just sports. And I thought that that was another part of your work, is that you injected humor in what you did. Because, look, this is entertainment. We're a distraction from people's everyday lives, aren't we?
Oh, we are. And, you know fans do get pretty worked up. And, you know, we were very lucky, you know, in our time here, our time span of working in this market. It's just, you think about all that's happened, and I go way back to catching the back end of Whitey Ball, and then you get the greatest show on turf, and you get Spoonball and some of the other stuff I wrote about, the great Kill Coach Q Blues, and then, of course, the Stanley Cup run, and you know, the Cardinals being so good for two decades, you know, and all the stars leading up to Arenado and Goldschmidt. I mean, just so, there's so much. And the fans are so, I mean, I love the fans. Yeah, they get excited. But, you know, just the joy of working in a market like this versus being back east or dealing with some of the harder core elements that you run into, it's been a joy.
So let's, I'm going to ask you this because I'm sure this is the thing that most people will ask you, or one of them, and that is, you come in the middle of a couple of World Series appearances for the Cardinals, and since your time here, it's been multiple World Series winners, a Super Bowl win, multiple appearances there, Stanley Cup final, and a Stanley Cup championship. What has been, and maybe it's not any of those, but what has been the thing that you will have enjoyed covering the most?
Yeah, well, you know, the big plays are the obvious ones. You know, the David Freese homer, such an epic moment. You know, the lightning bolt, the Warner to Bruce in the Super Bowl, then the tackle to win that. I mean, it was such an amazing season. That was a storybook from start to finish. You know, the Cardinals winning the championships the way they did and the years they did, they weren't expected to win those championships. And some of the craziness that went into getting them to that point, you know, just you look at that. I think, for me, it has to win out just being the Blues, just because the Blues are a put-upon franchise, you know, almost moved. Was shut down for a bit, went through multiple owners, a lot of hard times, and those fans were just such a diehard bunch. And then to see them, you know, not destroyed franchise like the Cardinals, or not the team that came from out of town like the Rams, but the Blues were been here all this time, and for them to finally get over that hump and do what people said would never happen, that had to be, you know, as great as the greatest show on turf was and as great as the championships the Cardinals won, pretty hard to top that, just knowing the fans and knowing the franchise history.
You want to talk about a lead? How about this? The journey began in June of 1986. The Blues hired Jacques Martin to replace Jacques Demers as coach, so the sports department's new guy jumped into action. When it comes to hiring head coaches, I wrote, Blues general manager Ron Curran has a Jacques itch.
Great.
But great. They didn't print it though, Gordo.
It didn't because it was back then, and you know, Bernie Miklos can talk about that too, right? I mean, he came in before me at the Post, and it was a lot more conservative than where we were before, which was the Baltimore News American, where we could do all sorts of things like that. It was a lot more difficult to have that level of fun, at least back then, because they were quite serious about their journalism when we came back in the 80s.
What was the fascination with hockey for you? Because it did, of all the things that you covered, and I want to get into some of your Mizzou because you have such deep ties to Mizzou, but hockey seemed to be the one where everyone was really blown away by the way not only you absorbed it, but conveyed it to everybody.
You know, just getting to connect with the fans and realizing that all the franchise circumstances, when you come to St. Louis and you see what they've gone through, and yeah, I came in right after the Monday Night Miracle season and what Jacques Demers did, and that was such an unlikely run. And then you go into the history, you start getting to know the people with the franchise, and you start, the history was so crazy, all the things that have happened to that point and then continue to happen. And then you got to know the fans and how just authentic and genuine they were and how much they bled it and how committed they were. Just getting to connect with those people when I came to town, because it was such a unique story. You know, again, the Gridbirds were an interesting story too, in a different way. And so, you know, had they stayed, and it would have been interesting to see how that, you know, my perception of that whole thing would have been. Because when I got here, it was a bit of a clown show at the end. Unfortunately, you know, they just didn't. You know, it was just a mess, and then they left. So the Blues, I just connected with, and the fans, and the way that the whole history of the franchise.
Is there a thing here? Okay, let's maybe it is the football Cardinals, but is there is there something that you covered, or a team, or an entity? I don't know, that you will not miss. That was more of a pain than anything else, or I mean, maybe everything was a pleasure.
No, it was all pretty good. I think I would point to when you have work stoppages, those are bad, right?
Yeah.
So hockey went through a couple of those.
Wait, so is that why you're getting out now before the work stoppage in 2027? This is why you're retiring
now.
Yeah,
you know, that is no fun to think that may be coming on the horizon again for baseball. And, you know, just writing about that stuff is, you know, the industry of the business and millionaires fighting billionaires. That part you don't need, right? You want to get back to sports. And really, when it comes down to these work stoppages, and we've seen them in baseball over this time span and some really nasty ones in hockey, it's just that, yeah, you know, it's sports. It's fun. Entertain the fans. And yet, you know, the players are rich. The owners are really rich. Can't you get this figured out, people? Come on. That's annoying.
The Tyus Edney, end-to-end, the fifth down. What did they call the 97 Nebraska, the flea kicker? I mean, how many things have gone against the University of Missouri? And in covering it, how did you try to separate? Because obviously your heart was with the Tigers. This guy was part of the Antlers, for crying out loud. With basketball and football, you talk about two programs that haven't won a championship. And, you know, that being able to separate your heart from your job.
Yeah, that part was difficult because, you know, coming back to work in St. Louis, it's funny, you know, I figured, well, certainly the Antlers will just sort of dissipate at some point. It won't be an issue, right? And in fact, they never did. They just kept going. So it would always circle back to the fact that I was a visible part of the first group. And so I always had answers for that. So yeah, that part. And, you know, I did have such a strong allegiance, obviously, because that was, you know, we were just maniacs for the sport. And, you know, giving Bob Costas a hard time when he came up the steps to broadcast the games back 100 years ago, having a good time with him. You know, and then to see what happened to the alma mater, you know, going through the unfortunate downfall after Uncle Al, you know, you get, you know, Warren Powers, and that thing just sort of falls apart, and Woody's wagon goes off the trail, and Bob Stoll was dull. I remember his wife yelling at me because I was really being harsh to Bob. And it just kept getting worse until, you know, you finally get Gary Finkel coming in and you finally get things going. And yet, look at all the misfortune, all the craziness that happened to them, to the Tigers, before he finally got them, you know, to championship games and the higher level. And now it's great. You got two great coaches, and we'll see if either one can, you know, win the whole thing. But it's not unthinkable now. But, man, there were some dark periods. And you think about Quinn Snyder's flame out and poor Kim Anderson. And, yeah, it's been a lot.
And well, things are looking up. They got the best recruiting class in America. And is this football team – let me ask you a current question. Is this football team a legitimate – college football playoff contender in your mind?
You know, the one thing I never thought I'd see at Missouri, just because the way college football was, it was impossible to get the level of athletes you need in the lines and linebacker and secondary and such to really just tee off week after week against top teams. I just never thought they were going to have that ability to do what Georgia and Alabama and, you know, Texas and those schools do. But, you know, clearly this team does have is moving in that direction when you can see them just go out against a team that was, you know, highly thought of and just push them around on the field despite, you know, getting some guys nicked up. That told me that, you know what, they can play big boy football. And if you can do that in today's climate, you got a shot. And they have a shot at making the bracket, you know, and we'll find out against Alabama, I suppose. But, yeah, they can actually play big boy football. And it's utterly astonishing what Eli Drinkwitz did. I mean, they went from having 40,000 people a game, 35,000 people a game, to just continuing to expand a stadium. I mean, it's just hard to imagine, even for a guy that goes back to the happier days of 70,000 people in the stands when Oklahoma rolled in for a, you know, big eight game.
You know, there are a lot of people, Jeff, who think this Blues team could end up being really good. And we saw them make the playoff appearance and about as disappointing of an end as you could possibly have. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. I think in a year, I'm going to really like this team. I think it's going to be a good team. But I think in a year when a lot of these younger guys you're hearing a lot about are all able to add more depth to the group and fresher legs, then they're really going to be loaded. And this year, they could be very good. Bennington wants to be in the Olympics. He's going to have to earn that spot by playing well in goal. I think Robert Thomas wants to be there. He's going to have to earn that spot by playing well, and I think we saw him at the end of last year. Montgomery's a great coach, tremendous hire. I liked everything they've done, but I really, as good as they're going to be this year, I think it could get even better because the next group of these young prospects, the Blues really took advantage of their step back when they went and made their bailout trades, and I think it's it was a masterful job by Armstrong to stay competitive and then build a team and steal those two guys last year with the offer sheet. They're on the cusp of doing something special again. So very exciting for the Blues. It's amazing that he was able to pull that off without having to subject fans to the sort of suffering that the Red Wings have inflicted on Detroit.
Yeah, you're right about that. And you can feel the energy in the building. I mean, when the Blues play and when they open the season, it'll be electric in there. Mizzou is selling out every game for Ofield. Is the place to be. The SEC schedule is underway. And then there's the Cardinals, Gordo. And I want to ask for your assessment. You could probably put this as well as anybody. How do you see this? How did we get here? But mostly, how did the Cardinals get out of this? When you see this, this is the first time, and I've been covering the team for 28 years, and you've been now at 40, that I've seen this. Even in the 90s, did it get to this level? This is more 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it goes back to when I was in college, would come over for a game, and there'd be the kind of crowds we're seeing now. Because the 90s, things got pretty dull. I think the brewery kind of lost interest in the team, and, you know, it wasn't what Three Sticks wanted to do. He wanted to get into spend more money on his amusement parks, and that's fine. So they needed to get revived, and they, you know, to go back to where it was with Whitey, and they did. So there was just a lull there. It wasn't bad. This is bad. This goes back to the 70s. So, you know, I like the core of young position players, the, you know, four or five, maybe six guys. They have the starting point. There's a lot of work to do. But I think the biggest thing, and you guys hear it every day, is you got to have strong messaging. You have to say, okay, here's our plan. We're committed. We think we can get there, and we think we can get there in X amount of time, and we're committed to doing that. And this is clearly the vision we had. Guys, I can't understand. I'll never understand how they decided to just, you know, take a transition year and just say, yeah, well, we'll just see what happens. And then the next year we'll get serious again. It's just the fans, they want to believe. It's not just going to the ballpark to watch a baseball game. Fans here want to believe in the franchise. That's why that's how 40,000 people showed up on a Tuesday for all those years, for God's sakes. They want to believe. And they've lost that belief, the fan base. You know, the fan base has lost its belief. So getting that back, it's going to be a combination of, you know, quickly getting some exciting players, making some progress, but also messaging. You know, getting out and telling people, here's what we're doing and here's why, and this is why we think it's going to work. That'll go a long way.
Yeah, I think that, and Tom and I were just talking about that, you know, over the last couple of days, and I guess we've been talking about it quite a bit, what it will take to get people back to the ballpark. I don't think, you know, as long as you are showing them, there are some franchises like the Rays, like the White Sox, that no matter what their future looks like, their current and their future, it's really tough to get people to the ballpark. I don't think it'd be that difficult to get these folks back if you are showing them the organization is headed in the right direction. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be work. You got to connect with them. You've got to do a good job selling your young players that you do have, that do have a future, that do want to play the game the right way, because you do have a handful of those. And, you know, they have to believe in the ownership and management. And so I think it's just because I think that's where the problem has been. And here's the thing about today's world that's different than before. As you guys know, we're the way the media is, the social media, the echo chambers that can build up, people can get into a, there can be a negative echo chamber can swallow up a topic, a team, an issue. And it's just far worse to break out of that. It's far harder to dissolve that, to get people out of that echo chamber. And the Cardinals have been kind of in the self-feeding negativity now for a couple of years. And how do you get them out of that and thinking in more positive terms? Because there hasn't been an alternative. It's just in the absence of strong messaging by the team and a direction, people have drawn their own conclusions, and it's just fed on itself. And now there's a lot of negative energy around the team, right? That it is unimaginable. None of us could have ever imagined it stings like we've seen this year at the stadium.
No, I never did. And it has happened, and you have to put in hope. And like you said, it's the entertainment business. I mean, at some point you have to be able to put the belief back into the fan base, and then it will be back to the roaring crowds we're used to. Jeff, before we go, and this is Jeff Gordon, if you recognize the voice, of course, he is longtime columnist, writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He also hosted on radio for many years and did a terrific job. But I wanted to ask, is this day one of the retirement? Like, is this underway? And And what are the feelings about the days ahead?
Yeah, it is day one. Actually, I did film a video this morning, and that was it, last act. So as of this afternoon, I'm out, and we'll see. I've got a couple grandkids in Kansas City. I got another one on the way in Brooklyn, New York. And so we're going to take a little time off, probably still do a little bit of writing here and there. But, you know, I'm pushing 69 and time to catch my breath. And trouble is, I don't have any hobbies. All I've ever done is like write about sports or talk about it. And it's been nonstop. So I have no idea what's going to happen next week. So good question.
Kind of feel like you should have given us some notice. You just left.
It was fun. Well, it's circumstances were such. You know, we were something you think about for a while, and you guys know in the business, you get to the end of the fiscal year, and so changes could happen, and that's when there's motivation to you know, offer incentives and that sort of thing. So a lot of that was just the timing of the business element, and Post was very nice to me. The Post Dispatch was very, very nice to me. It's been a pleasure working for him. Nothing negative at all. It was just an opportunity for me to, you know, go ahead and choose this time because I was starting to wear down. And so, yeah, it's just kind of a combination of things that made it seem a little swift.
The new chapter is underway. And Jeff Gordon, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for the St. Louis sports community. And the fact that you get to refresh and do a lot of things with the family and spend some time, of course, watching sports as a fan, because I know you will, that you can't let that go. It's nice to be able to talk to you about this, but I can't thank you enough for all the material, all the content. I mean, I was a voracious reader of your columns, all the things that you did in the Post-Dispatch, and I know I'm not alone. Our listeners are big fans.
Hey, last thing, Tom. How about Indiana football, huh?
Oh, man.
See, I would walk, and he was always up on everything. I'd walk into the Rams locker room, and he would turn, catch me walking in, and be like, hey, how about those Hoosiers? They did it last night. Buddy, I was absolutely thrilled, and now it's a very strange feeling that my team, which has been kicked in the teeth for that long, is I almost think it's over the top what people are saying about them now as a national title contender. It's like, really? Us? Oh, I guess so. But, yeah, it was amazing.
Well, congratulations on that. Happy for you, Tom.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for everything. Appreciate it. And thanks for joining us on KMOX. Good luck in your retirement.
Well, we'll try to find something to do.
Jeff Gordon. 40 years at the Post-Dispatch. We'll take a break. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Welcome back to the show. We're on 1120 AM, 104.1 FM, Odyssey app, Facebook, X, and YouTube. Although, did you see those messages on there? Some people, that must have been a Facebook thing. There were some people saying that we are freezing on Facebook. The Facebook people said we are freezing.
I'm not
up.
Freezing. It's 73.
So if that's still happening on Facebook, let us know. That's just a Facebook thing. We always want to know that. Our listeners are awesome to let us know immediately.
You mean like this, like Cole Bassett, who says KMOX is the new voice of the Hoosiers?
I saw that, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. No,
look,
it's all good.
I'm happy for you, buddy.
I just appreciate people thanking me. I haven't really talked about them except when prompted. And if you notice, I haven't said a word on social media, except for right after the game, I said, now they
know. How are you not? This is all I would be talking about if I were
you. Yeah, that's an interesting topic. Let me tell you why. Because
I'd just be Indiana football, it's relevant.
It's what I just talked about with Gordo, is that I'm always careful about being a fan. And I think that people are listening to me. My job is to analyze and dissect sports. So if I sit there and I'm like, you know, did everybody see the Indiana game? Like, it's not. Tom. Our audience is Cardinals, Blues, City, Battlehawks, Billikens, Mizzou, Illinois. Like, I know what our audience is. If I want to go to the Indiana fans, I know how to find them. But I just, I don't know.
It's okay to be human.
I'm very happy about it.
Be a human, Tom.
I am a human, but I'm not showing up wearing Indiana gear.
You should be. Come on, man. You're a... You gave your heart to that university, and
yes,
now they
did.
Have a relevant football program.
Yes, they do.
Like a legit, they're just barely out of the top 10.
What I like to do is break it down into football terms. So like when I started talking about the game, I went into how did Illinois let this happen? And Brett Bielema should have a better physical football team to not allow that to happen. Now my next thing is, I can't believe how many people are talking about Indiana and that Fernando Mendoza is the favorite to win the Heisman now, and that the percentage to make the playoffs jumped from like 10% to 58% mm-hmm. in one day. You know, there's a lot of football left. I mean, they have to go to Iowa and play this weekend. That is no easy place to win. They won't beat themselves. They still have to go to Oregon and Penn State, although if they were to lose one of those, it wouldn't hurt them. College football is going to be a crazy year. There is no dominant team. Everybody's still wondering how good is Oregon and Penn State. We already saw Ohio State beat Texas. And those are all Big Ten teams I just mentioned.
Yep.
And the SEC still believes that it is the king of all college football, but they haven't won the last two national championships like the Big Ten has. So the SEC has something to prove, and the LSUs and the Georgias, et cetera. And then there's Miami sitting out there, might be the best of them all. And, you know, they have to come out firing here. And then there are others like Kirk Herbstreit, who said, I'm going to put it down right now. I'm going to go all in here. Notre Dame's going to win out and make the college football playoff. So Notre Dame at 1-2, still ranked, might not be out of it either, according to him. It's going to be wild. Where does Mizzou fit into all of this? Just keep doing what you're doing. Just play good, solid, strong football. Don't worry about flash. Win these games by a touchdown, a field goal, whatever you got to do, and make sure that you don't have any losses in that L column, because if you do, the naysayers will point at you.
Keep building a program.
Yeah.
And see what the end result of it is 5 years from, I don't want to say end result, but 5 years from now, what has Mizzou been able to build? I'm really curious to see how far they can take that. Because I would love to be in proximity of a legitimate football school, because we're really not. I'm not taking anything away from Illinois and from Missouri, but it's not like being close to Alabama or Georgia or Notre Dame, teams that actually are in the championship game routinely.
Okay, Clemson, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Like it would be something if we were talking about a perennial playoff team that was in proximity to us. Now the playoffs expanded.
Mizzou fans are going to be upset that you said that, but that's okay.
Am I wrong? I mean, no, it's not what they've been.
You're talking about like being around a college football team that hangs banners.
A regular CFP team. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can become that, but they haven't been that. Illinois hasn't been that. Indiana has not. They've done it in basketball, but they haven't been there. It would be really something if there could be a program a couple of hours away from us that was in that conversation more often than not. Yeah. And there's no reason they can't do it. It takes investment. It takes money, but it can be done.
Missouri has a chance to get to that level of being great every year. They are on that path. And you're absolutely right. Build a program. And what Eli Drinkwitz and this administration has done is pretty remarkable. I mean, they jumped on that NIL situation very early. And they could be that next team. I've always thought, you know, Missouri is the team in the state. There is no competition.
Right.
There is no college football competition in this state. They can own the state. And all you have to do is get to that college football playoff now, and it's hard. It's hard to do. And by the way, Missouri's never been to a Final Four either, and they could make a push as well here in the next couple of years. So whoever does it is going to be the king.
This and this, Tom, has nothing to do with anything, but you brought up the flea kicker game, and it occurs to me that do you know where I watched that happen? It was November 8th of 1997, Mizzou, Nebraska. I watched that in the tunnel at the Dome. I believe it was the Trans World Dome at the time. Maybe it was Edward Jones. I'm not sure. 1997, watching a U2 concert. U2 was in town. I was in the tunnel and watched that play happen and went, oh my God, did you see that?
So where I was?
At it.
I was in that end zone in the grass by the Rock M. And people who were there know this to be true. People rushed the field because they thought the game was over. And It wasn't. And it was complete chaos.
What a kick in the teeth.
And it was unbelievable. And, you know, what Corby Jones did in that game to make it a game against the number one team in the nation, and Brent Musburger was calling it on TV. It was just wild. And now Mizzou, you know, has a chance to do what the Blues did. They can have a seat at the table. They're getting there. They have the ability to build a great program for many, many years. College football is not what it once was. You don't have just a handful of teams that get to take all the great athletes and all the great tradition. You can now spread it around a little bit. Indiana's a good example of that. They're going to be good for a while.
And who is the dominant coach without Saban? I mean, because it's not Dabo. I mean, that's the first person he would have gone to, but it's not really that program
he's
anymore.
He's 1-3 now, yeah.
Yeah, that's so who is it?
Who's the king of all coaches? I don't know that there is one, honestly. I mean, there are some good ones out there. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, the bigger you are, the harder you fall when things don't go well. And an example of that's Brian Kelly at LSU. I mean, if he fails, they'll be all over him, and he's been one of the great coaches of the last 20 years. There are some good ones out there, but there is no dominant coach and no dominant team right now. It's going to be fascinating to see. Hey, coming up tomorrow, it is the St. Louis Soccer Showcase. It's in Fenton.
It's the last one.
It's at 6 o'clock at Hot Shots in Fenton. The St. Louis Soccer Showcase is presented by Michelob Ultra. And the guest is City's very own Tomas Ostrock, who was one of the originals on St. Louis City SC.
Let's go.
6 o'clock on KMOX, but we want you out there at Hot Shots in Fenton. Ostrock's going to be out there, presented by Michelob Ultra. We'll finish up the Gas House Gang right after this.
Right center. Donovan swings and he hits it to the right field corner. Scott's off to the races. He's around second. He's being waved around third. Another double for Donovan. The throw to the plate. Save! Save! It's a tie game at 8. The fourth double tonight. A record-tying double for Brendan Donovan. And the Cardinals have come all the way back.
What a great call by one of the all-timers, John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals, 20th year calling Cardinals games.
Right?
Yeah. And Brendan Donovan, what a player. And what a comeback by the Cardinals. They play tonight. They take on the Giants. It's an 8:45 start. The Cardinals trying to finish over 500, and they're going to have to win out to do it. They are 78-80.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see if they can make life difficult for the Cubs over the weekend, because that team right now has the first wild card, but they seem to be doing everything they can to give it to the Padres. So a game and a half separate the two of them. Cardinals can make life really tough for Chicago here in the next few days.
Sonny Gray starting tonight. I wonder if Cardinals fans have a second team that they'll pull for in the postseason, or if they'll just kind of sit back and watch it, or if they just root against the Cubs.
Part of me almost wants to root for the Reds.
Do you want to root for the Brewers or do you not?
No, I'm done with them. Yeah, I'm finished with the Brewers.
Do you want to root for Schilte and the Padres?
Sure. I can do that, too.
Maybe Cleveland, just because
Cleveland's
an amazing
fun. Yeah.
Turnaround?
Yeah, I would have pulled for Detroit, too.
Seattle's never won. But I just don't have a pull for Seattle. I like the Midwest.
You know, I said the Reds. And I have a feeling that I would root for them once and then say, okay, that's enough of that. I'm done with Cincinnati, you know?
Well, thanks for joining us on the Gas House Gang. Jeff Gordon was really good. It was great to have him on. For Chris Ranji, I'm Tom Ackerman. We will see you tomorrow.